Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Same yearning for freedom that nearly 250 years ago gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Right Side Broadcasting and EndAbortion.tv, where we are bringing you these programs, Praying for America, and it is so urgent. We all know it is so urgent to pray for America, to pray for our leaders, to pray for ourselves, for our families, for our churches, for our freedom. It is urgent. And that's why we're so happy that not only you're joining us for these programs, but that you're sharing them with others. And let's let our online audience for these programs continue to increase and multiply. We're here to pray. We're here to learn. We're here to share. We're here to listen to the word of God. We're here to intercede. That's what we do. So for those of you that are new to Right Side Broadcasting, we welcome you warmly. President Donald Trump in a recent rally gave a great shout out and affirmation to Right Side Broadcasting, as well as a personal one-on-one interview for the network. And he has been very grateful for what this network has done from the beginning of his first campaign, namely bringing the American people and the world his speeches, his rally speeches, unedited from beginning to end. That has been the hallmark contribution of this network, even still today, for people who want to see the rallies and listen to President Donald Trump speak. We at Priests for Life began carrying the feed of these rally speeches from Right Side Broadcasting with their permission, and that began a wonderful collaborative relationship some years ago that has now blossomed into many, many other initiatives, including this Praying for America program. For those of you that are not familiar with Priests for Life, we're a pro-life organization that I have been leading since 1993. We are one of the largest pro-life groups in the world, and the largest ministry in the Catholic community that focuses on the goal of ending abortion. And there's a great intersection here between what we do at Priests for Life and what we call the MAGA movement. And that intersection is very, very simple to understand. A key aspect of making America great is to end abortion. A key aspect of making America great, as we deepen our commitment and our understanding of the principles on which America was founded and the principles in which her greatness consists, is to protect the God-given right to life. It's the first of the rights God gives us, as mentioned in our founding document, the Declaration of Independence. These inalienable truths that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life. Life is first, because without life, you can't have liberty or the pursuit of happiness. You can't have anything. So the right to life movement and the MAGA movement overlap wonderfully. They're not identical, of course. They don't need to be. But we come together here in this collaborative effort as Christian patriots, right to life people, and folks that are committed not only to pray, but to act. Because remember, and we should never tire of repeating this, that when we pray, we are not exhausting our duty. We've not done everything that we've been commanded to do once we finish praying. After we've prayed, we should not feel like we've done our duty. We should feel like we've been given our duty. Prayer leads to action, necessarily, because it's union with God. God is the one to whom we pray, to whom we listen in prayer, but he's also the one that is the source of every good activity. He thrusts us into the battle. We pray for victory in many different battles, but then God tells us to fight. We pray for forgiveness, but God tells us to repent. We pray for protection, but God tells us, do everything in your power to take care of yourselves and your families. There's always God's role and our role. In the end, it's all his gift, but there really is a role for us to play. And so prayer should not make us feel rested. It should make us feel restless. We should feel like, okay, now I'm more ready than ever for doing the things that God has called me to do. The relationship, therefore, between praying for America and acting for America. That's why on these programs, we also give you action items to follow through on. Well, what do we want to talk about tonight? I'm going to start with the scripture from John chapter 13, the washing of the disciples' feet, because I, in a recent program, talked to you about the sacrifice of the founders of our country and shared with you some specific stories about the sacrifices our founders made, losing property, losing loved ones, almost losing their own lives. They gave everything. They pledged everything and they gave everything. Much like the witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, the great witnesses, the cloud of witnesses of people inspired by faith down through the millennia of salvation history, who stand as an inspiration for us. Well, we can't stop there with the men and women of Hebrews 11, with the founders of our country. We can't stop there because we all know, and some of us have known very well, people who have paid great sacrifices for the freedom of our country. And of course, we're talking about those who have given their lives in armed conflicts in defense of our nation. And also, who, though they may not have given their lives, have spent their lives, or significant portions of their lives, in military service. We're talking about our veterans and those currently in military service and those who have given their lives. And in praying for America, we want to pray for them. Praying for them is an essential aspect of praying for America. Our military and our veterans living and deceased. We honor these men and women, of course, every year by two special holidays in our American life. And I want to, after we share this scripture, I want to talk in a little bit more detail about both of those holidays. And you know what they are, Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And then I want to pray in a particular way, giving thanks for the sacrifice and the witness of these men and women. Some of you are watching right now. Thank you for your service. Whether you are currently active in the military or whether you're retired, thank you so much for giving that sacrifice, giving of yourselves in so many different ways in the various branches of our armed services. We are very grateful, and we should be, and we should not only be grateful for what you've done, but we should take that as an example for ourselves, carrying out in whatever vocation in life we have, that spirit of sacrifice for America. So John chapter 13 sets a biblical context for all of this. Jesus is at the Last Supper with his apostles before the arrest and crucifixion that would take place that night and the next day. And we come to this very, very dramatic moment where the Lord does, well, what you might call is similar to what the prophets did in the Old Testament, a prophetic action. You know, the prophets didn't only speak words. The prophets did actions. Remember Jeremiah throwing down the potter's flask on the ground? Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you see these prophets doing actions, what the Lord told them to do in order to convey the word of the Lord in a particular situation. Jesus here is really doing a prophetic action. Let's read chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So are you clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. But if I, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. Amen, amen, I say to you, no slave is greater than his master, nor any messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand this, blessed are you if you do it." So those are the first 17 verses of John chapter 13. This washing of the feet the night before Jesus died on the cross is in fact a teaching about his death on the cross. In fact, it's a teaching about his own life, his whole life. Remember, he said, "The Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve." And then he defines what that service means, to serve. That is, to give his life as a ransom for the many. So the service that the Son of God offers us is his death on the cross. Above all the even the teaching, the preaching, the miracles, the feeding of the crowd, the giving sight to the blind, making the lame walk, and raising Lazarus from the dead, and others. Above and beyond all that, it is all culminating, and it all finds its meaning and purpose in his death on the cross, freely given, the sacrifice freely offered. "No one takes my life from me," he says elsewhere, John chapter 10. "I lay it down freely. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again." We think of those who have given their lives in the service of our country. No one should feel like, "Oh, isn't this terrible that their lives were taken from them against their will?" No, the greatness of their service is encompassed in the fact that they freely signed up to serve this country. They wanted to give themselves. It's so inspiring to see and to hear the stories, for example, of those wounded in various ways in battle, and then they can't wait to get back to continue fighting for the freedom, for the values, for the country that we all love. So this freedom in serving is, of course, a reflection of what our Lord says here about the giving of his life. "I lay it down freely. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again." That is power. When you give yourself to serve America, when you undergo the rigorous training, the rigorous discipline, Not just I'm talking about the physical discipline. Yes, that's impressive on its own. But then there's the moral discipline, and there's the emotional discipline, what you have to endure in terms of being separated from your loved ones, particularly on the holidays. That's discipline, but that's discipline freely undertaken. And what's the power to do that? It's the power of love. It's the power of love for God and for the country based on the providence of God and the law of God, America. The washing of the feet shows the whole mystery of Jesus giving himself by becoming human, first of all. So he's at the table. You could think of that as he's on his throne in heaven from all eternity. Remember, he was there in heaven before the earth even existed. And now he rises from the table and takes off his garment. So he decides to become one of us. So he takes off the glory of divinity, wraps a towel around himself, takes on our human nature, in other words, and then goes around to these apostles and pours water into a basin, the pouring out of his blood on the cross and the water that came forth from his side, and washes their feet, because the shedding of his blood washes us from sin. So this whole action, as I said, it's a prophetic action. This whole action of coming, rising from his place at the table and doing all of that is in fact a retelling of the story of the incarnation. God actually becoming one of us, giving his life for us, shedding his blood for us, and then that cleanses us. Then what happens after that? It doesn't stop there. He takes his place again at the table. He puts the garments back on. So he rises in the glory of the resurrection. He appears in all his glory. He ascends into heaven. He takes his place again on the throne, clothing himself again in that divine glory, seating himself again at the table, and then he gives the lesson. I am your master and teacher, but I have washed your feet. You must wash one another's feet. And then when he says at the end here, no slave is greater than his master. No messenger is greater than the one who sent him. What we have to ask, what we have to take from that is, how can we go through life not sacrificing and serving? When Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life, how can we expect any less to be required of us? And that is why those who have served and continue to serve this country, those who have given their lives and those who are still living among us, you really are Christ in our midst. You are an example of Christ in our midst. And what is happening here is that what you accomplish by your service is more than that. It is a stimulus for the rest of us. It is an example that impels us to serve the Lord and to serve our country in our own vocations. For me to serve as a priest, as a pro-life leader, for each of you to serve in any way, shape, or form, even for children, as they give witness among their peers to the greatness of America. We pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, our founders said at the end of the Declaration. Why? Because it doesn't get any better than the principles articulated in that Declaration. It doesn't get any better than to say all are created equal. It doesn't get any better to say that God gives us our rights and governments exist to secure those rights. It doesn't get any better than to say that those who govern us govern only with the consent of the governed. You can't improve on those principles. You can't. And that's why this is the only nation still operating under its original founding documents, and why it is the nation more than any other to which people flock from all corners of the world. It's based on an idea which is perfect. And no matter how many centuries go by, on the principles themselves, there can be no more clarity, no more improvement. And that's why those who want to erase our history, cancel our culture, make people forget about the great American heroes and tar our children's understanding of this nation with all kinds of negativity are so off base. They're so fundamentally wrong because they can't understand the basic principles nor the perfection that they embody. And so praying for America, we pray for those who have served us and who serve us still. And we do that each year by two special holidays. I want to say a word about each of these. You know, we have Memorial Day in May, and then we have Veterans Day in November. And you know the difference between the two of these. Veterans Day is honoring all the veterans, all those living among us who have served our country. Memorial Day is honoring specifically those who have given their lives in service to our country, particularly when their lives were taken in combat situations. So let's look at Memorial Day, celebrated on the last Monday each May. And it was first established after the Civil War. It was called Decoration Day, and the idea was to honor those who had died in the Civil War and to decorate their graves. We decorate a grave because we're bringing attention to that person and to the sacrifice that they made. So as time went on, Decoration Day began to be called Memorial Day, and then the Congress set it officially as the fourth Monday of May, or the last Monday of May, rather, not the fourth, the last Monday of May. And they made that designation back in 1971. So we've been celebrating it on that day ever since. Now, you remember what happened this past Memorial Day. Kamala Harris made a fool of herself and really angered a lot of people. Enjoyed a long weekend. You know, that was her tweet, not mentioning anything about the significance of the weekend, not mentioning anything about maybe pausing to remember, honor, and mourn those who have died in the service of our country. Yeah. Enjoyed a long weekend. It's like as if it's, you know, the mentality of a grade school child. And many grade school children understand this apparently better than she expressed in that tweet, who are only thinking about the fun, the time off. That was that was embarrassing. That was a disgraceful embarrassment. Especially those who have friends and family members who have given their lives in conflict for this country. Memorial Day is really a time of is a lot of memories and a lot of mourning. We miss and we grieve those who have been killed for the rest of us. And so we have to pause and we have to think about them, and we need to tell their stories and we need to pray for them. We should be having religious services. We should be going to cemeteries. We should be shedding some tears. So it's not simply, have a nice long weekend, have a parade, have a barbecue, go to the beach. Now, at the same time, let me give you this perspective. You may have read this elsewhere. Krista Simpson Anderson, Gold Star wife who lost her husband, Army Staff Sergeant Michael Harrison Simpson, in Afghanistan in 2013, she made these comments. And of course, she understands this is a time of mourning each year and remembering and honoring. And so she would certainly be, offended by, just a long weekend and not in anything deeper than that. But at the same time, you don't want to go around criticizing people for enjoying the weekend either. Here's what she says. I get upset when people scold others for enjoying the weekend or having barbecues. What do you think our service members did before they died? Make sure Mike, she says about her husband, Mike sure did enjoy his family and friends. What better way to honor them than to be surrounded by family and friends living? But we are also grateful for your pause and reflection as you celebrate our heroes and the lives they lived. And I think, brothers and sisters, this is a good balanced perspective. It's not that we can't celebrate. It's that we can't forget. We can't forget the purpose, the meaning of the holiday. We pause, we remember, we have to connect with the grief that so many of our fellow citizens have, and we have to share in that. And we have to honor those who have died. But remember, they died for our freedom. And so they want us to live that freedom and to enjoy what that freedom allows us to enjoy. So a good balanced view of that. That's Memorial Day every May, the last Monday. Veterans Day. In November, we celebrate Veterans Day on the 11th of the month. And that started out, just as Memorial Day started out in reference to the Civil War, Veterans Day started out in connection with World War I, the signing of the armistice. And the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, November 11th, in 1918, the marking the end of World War I, it was called Armistice Day, this holiday. And of course, remembering those who fought and died in that particular war. And then as time went on, again, the holiday evolved and it was changed to Veterans Day to honor the veterans of all time, not just of the First World War, but of all wars and of all time in our history. And that is 1954 that change was made, calling it Veterans Day, keeping it on that same day, November 11th. It's always on the same day. And giving thanks for those and honoring and making those living among us who are veterans feel our gratitude. And also, you know, not just telling them thank you. And you who are watching now who are veterans, but also listening for the rest of us to listen to you, to learn from you, and to be inspired again to make the sacrifices we all are called to make within our own vocation in life. Now, wrapping up therefore these thoughts with what I shared the other night. You know, we have, in praying for America, the example of those who have sacrificed for America from the very beginning, rooted in way in the beginning in the salvation history that we read in Hebrews 11, looking at the tremendous and often forgotten sacrifice of those who signed the Declaration and the Constitution. And remember, they were rebelling against a powerful king. They were committing high treason. These were revolutionaries. Remember John Hancock signing his name so big? So I want to make sure the king sees this. We should all be signing our names large, ready for the kind of sacrifice it entails, ready for any opposition that it might invite. And it's the sacrifice of those founders and of our veterans, living and deceased, that inspires us to do that. And the inspiration, of course, is ultimately all in Jesus Christ. And it is that Lord and Savior, that Master and Teacher, who nevertheless took off his garment, his outer garment, and washed the feet of those disciples, shed his blood for us. Isn't this how we pray for America? Isn't this how we are inspired to serve America? In that spirit, let's turn to the Lord. Father, we come before you on this day, renewing our faith in you, in your Son, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit sent from both of you, the Father and the Son. We renew our gratitude and love for America, We renew our fidelity to the principles on which it was founded and continues to endure. And we renew, O Lord, our determination to live by the same Spirit, the Spirit first and foremost of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in whom he made the sacrifice on the cross, shedding his blood for us. That power by which he laid down his life, the power to lay it down, the power of love, the power of the Spirit. We ask for that Spirit to fill us. Lord, we see the working of that Spirit in the lives of our forefathers in the faith. In Hebrews 11, we see the power of that Spirit at work in the founding fathers of our nation. And Lord, we even see the power of that Spirit in all those men and women who have served this nation, those who have given their lives, and those who are still living among us, proudly serving even now, and proudly having served in one or another branch of the armed services. We thank you, Lord, for these men and women. We thank you because seeing them in their uniforms, and it says so much to us about our history, about the values we hold, about the freedom we live and defend. It says so much, and we thank you, Lord, that it says so much, and that you are able to continue filling us with that strength and courage and grace to give of ourselves each day. We thank you, Lord, for those furthermore who are defending our freedom as first responders, as law enforcement officers. These men and women too, Lord God, are serving our freedom, and in their uniforms and in their service, they remind us also that we love America. And praying for America, Lord, right now, we want to pray for them. First of all, for all those who have given their lives, we entrust them, O God, to you. You created them, Lord. We ask you to continue to take care of them. May we encounter them together with you in the life to come, in the resurrection of the dead. Lord God, we pray for all those living among us, those who have served long ago, and who can share with us today the stories of their service, the stories of the sacrifices and the moments when the freedom of this country and the values of this country were defended in dramatic ways. We thank you, Lord, for that history. May we never forget it. May we always listen to our veterans. We thank you, Lord God, for those among us giving this example. Lord, for physically, emotionally, mentally, for those who have been injured spiritually, those who have lost limbs, those who have lost the ability to function as well as the rest of us. Lord, those who are afflicted with post-traumatic stress disorder or other afflictions. Lord, there's a price to be paid, and we know that these men and women have willingly paid it. Lord, we ask for your healing grace and your healing mercy and your strength and your wisdom and your patience. We ask for your Spirit to be poured out on these men and women, those, Lord God, who are suffering in any way. Bring them consolation through the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Bring them the power and peace of the cross. Lord, we pray for their continued healing, and we pray, Lord, that the medical services of which they may stand in need, or simply the reassuring word or handshake of a friend, will always be there for them as they have given so much for us. Lord God, we praise you and thank you for those among us who are completely healthy and who are living the lives of freedom for which they themselves fought on the front lines. Thank you, Lord God, for all of this great, great example of service. Bless these men and women and bless us. May we always fittingly honor them as we, O Lord, honor and worship you, the one true God and Savior of all, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may we together say the prayer that he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Friends, as an action item for this show, let's do something to thank, honor, connect with, hear the stories, or share the stories of a veteran in our lives, that we may inspire both ourselves and others with their example. Thanks, friends, for taking time to be with me tonight. Check out Right Side Broadcasting, RSB Network, on the various social media platforms. And also connect with me, Fr. Frank Pavone, on the various social platforms. We at Priests for Life want to serve you. Right Side Broadcasting, likewise, we want to serve you as Christians, as patriots, as people of this great MAGA movement, as Americans moving forward with gratitude and with prayer. God bless you all. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Talk to you soon.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.